a book. We thank you for this book, and we pray that we could get some ideas from it, either doctrinal or practical. Help us to look at the events of the day and how somebody wrote something over 2,500 years ago that is still applicable for today. And I pray you'd help us to see what you have for us, maybe some difficult things here. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, remember that Ezekiel is in Babylon, and the Lord might transport him back and forth, either by vision. And so he's kind of given the final warning, the long-distance warning to Judah before the third campaign comes in, the third military campaign. He was taken, ripped from his home, ripped from his culture, taken away, and taken clear over to Babylon on the second military campaign. And so the Lord is still wanting him to speak, and then the Lord will take those words and, you know, email him over to Jerusalem or whatever. Okay, and his words are not bound. Okay, and in chapter 18, he was the Lord was focusing his message basically to the average Jew, the average individual. In chapter 19, he focuses these words to the politicians of the day, the princes. You'll see that in verse 1, the princes. Okay, and then in chapter 20, he focuses this message to the elders. That would be like the religious elders, that'd be like the spiritual leadership of the area. And so he focuses the words there to them. And on chapter 19, he talks about lions. Okay, and it's not the cowardly lion on The Wizard of Oz.
Courage.
Okay, it's not that guy. Okay, he's portraying, amazingly, he's portraying politicians as beast of prey. Okay, and in Psalm 118, verse 8 or verse 9, it says, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes." That's better. Well, I'm glad our politicians saved, born again. Yeah. Maybe he's a saved lion. Okay, but yeah, it's better to put your trust in the Lord. On our currency, it says, "In God we trust." Okay, and so chapter 19, this is an added thought to chapter 18, where it starts off, "Moreover." Okay, so he says, "Moreover, take thou a lamentation for the princes of Israel." Okay, now the book of Lamentation that precedes Ezekiel was five chapters written by Jeremiah describing the events of the day after 18 months siege, after Babylon conquered them. And so that's a lamenting. This one is for the princes of Israel, the politicians of Israel. Okay, what are those rascals up to? The princes, the politicians. Okay, if you would go to chapter 45. Remember, these Old Testament prophets would be primarily religious, revivalists, I guess you could say. And then secondarily, they would be reformers in a political structure, because under the Old Testament, still at this point, it's still a religion and a government interwoven together until Babylon conquers them, and then they lose that civil aspect. Chapter 45, verse 8. Okay, he says, "In the land shall be his possession in Israel, and my princes shall no more oppress my people. And the rest of the land shall they give to the house of Israel according to the tribes. Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel. Remove violence and spoil, and execute judgment and justice. Take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God. Ye shall have just balances and a just ephah and a just bath. Okay, that starting in verse 10, 11, 12, that's about measuring currency, the weight of currency. Okay, you need to have a just currency, which our country does not have. Okay, and so in verse 9, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed that throughout the years. No matter what country you go to, somebody's in political office, and they are the professional thieves in the country. They are intending to get something for nothing. Okay, that's in every single country throughout this world. Doesn't matter what title you put on it, democracy, republic, oligarchy, you know, monarchy, so forth. It doesn't matter what title you put on it, socialism, communism, Marxism, fascism. Okay, the princes, the politicians are trying to get something for nothing. Okay, and so that's just life. That's just life. And we'll trade the short time that we have here with a 1,000-year millennium. Okay, so I'll take that trade. Now, depending on what state you live in, like in Illinois, the governors there serve 2 sentences, one in political office and one in prison. And so usually that's how it goes, no matter what side of the aisle they're on. Okay, no matter what state. It's kind of interesting to see some states who are putting strong laws against abortion, and some are, like Illinois, really jockeying for position, making sure they can kill that kid clear up until the last second. I mean, depending on the state. And I don't know if anybody saw the videos, you know, going on with the dairy farm down there. They've been mean to the calves and all that stuff. Okay, let's send some folks to some abortion clinics and get some secret cameras. They're more screaming about, you know, an animal than they are a living soul. But, oh, well, that's how it goes. Okay, so this is a lamentation for the princes of Israel. Okay, so who is going to be giving at this time, who has been delegated the political structure from this moment till today? Okay, remember the last name that God said, I took it away from Jeconiah. Took the J-E off. He said, Coniah. He calls him Coniah. Jeremiah 22. He says, oh, earth, earth, earth. He wants everybody to know this. When he took that authority away from Israel, from Coniah, then he delegated it to Satan himself. It's the times of the Gentiles. And remember in the temptations of Christ, he said to Jesus, if you bow and worship me, I will give you all these kingdoms. And he wasn't lying. Okay, so he's the one that's in charge of that until the times of the Gentiles are done at the end of the tribulation. Then the Lord takes it back. Okay, and then we're going to see how it's supposed to be done. So what animal is he going to use to illustrate this? Ezekiel, and say, what is thy mother? A lioness. She lay down among lions. She nourisheth her whelps among young lions. And she brought up one of her whelps. It became a young lion, and it learned to catch prey. It devoured men. Let's try Jeremiah. What his comment about that is in Jeremiah 5, verse 26. And then we'll try Daniel. So we're going to cover all three men. Daniel was taken in the first military campaign. Ezekiel was taken in the second military campaign. And Jeremiah had the offer to go to Babylon after the third, but he chose to stay. So we're looking at all three men that were part of each individual military campaign. Jeremiah 5, verse 26. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. Okay, so Jeremiah pointed it out. Ezekiel pointed it out. Let's look at Daniel, what he says. Daniel chapter 7. So we're just getting the viewpoints of these folks from the Bible, and we put our confidence in the Lord. Paul said we are to pray for them, for kings and all that are in authority. We pray for them, okay, but we don't put confidence in them. Daniel 7, verse 17. Okay, he had a vision at the beginning of the chapter, recorded, and it says, these great beasts which are four are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Okay, what animals does he depict these kings? If you go backwards to chapter 7, verse 4, and we'll see what animals he uses to depict international kings. Okay, a lion, verse 4, a bear, verse 5, a leopard, verse 6, and a conglomeration of all three, verse 7. The conglomeration of all three is given in detail in Revelation chapter 13, verse 2. Remember that Daniel is the Old Testament parallel of Revelation, and in Daniel 12, Michael told Daniel, seal up the book until the time of the end. And that's a reference to Daniel's 70th week. And in Revelation chapter 6, the Lord Jesus opens up the seals. So Revelation 13, 2, and the beast, which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. So there's political figureheads. So when you see all this stuff on the telly, you know, this one here, this one here, this one here, and the queen. Oh, the queen. Oh, Trump shook her hand. Oh, that's terrible. Queen, what is queen? Gag me with a spoon. It's a parasite. Okay? Just a parasite off of the people of England. Wouldn't know how to put a seed in the ground or grow a garden. Wouldn't know how to survive if she couldn't steal it from the people. I mean, it's just a joke. Okay? If we read the Bible and believe what it says. He says about the devil, he's a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. So Ezekiel 19, verse 3, they devour men. They devour men. How many lives are ruined by these people? You say, how do they sleep at night? Not a problem. They don't have a problem sleeping at all. Okay, why? They're lions. They're beasts of prey. In verse 4, the nations also heard of him, and he was taken in their pit, and they brought him with chains unto the land of Egypt. Okay, so this is a survival of the fittest. Historically, this happened just previous to this. If you run across reference, it takes you to 2 Chronicles 36, and that'll be a guy named Jehoiakim, I think. Let me make sure I get the guy's name. 2 Chronicles 36, verse 4. It would be Jehoash. Okay, Jehoiakim's the next one. Okay, Jehoash, it says in verse 3, Egypt came in to Jerusalem. And in verse 4, he bound him in chains and carried him to Egypt. Okay, and so that's the parallel of verse 4, Ezekiel. And in verse 5, now when she saw that she had waited and her hope was lost, then she took another of her whelps and made him a young lion. And he went up and down among the lions, and he became a young lion and learned to catch the prey, and catch men, devour men. Okay, so just like a lion, that's just the way they are. Okay, now that would be, and then that would be the next one in 2 Chronicles 36. That would be Jehoiakim, where Nebuchadnezzar comes in and gets him. Survival of the fittest. Jesus said about Satan, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, and so in verse 7, and he knew their desolate palaces, and they laid waste their cities, and the land was desolate, and the fullness thereof by the noise of roaring. Then the nation set against him, and on every side from the provinces, and spread their net over him, and he was taken in their pit, and they put him in ward. Ward. Ward is a King James only word. We don't hear that anymore, do we? It's King James so out of date. You know? Warden. The Mormons call their church a ward. How would you like to go to the ward of the Mormons? What a thing. Down in Wheatfield, you got a Catholic church named Our Sorrowful Mother. Oh, let's go to church. What for? Our Sorrowful Mother. Boy, that's uplifting. That's exciting. And so, put him in ward. And they put him in ward in the chains and brought him to the king of Babylon. And they brought him into holes that his voice should no more be heard upon the mountains of Israel. Okay, then he says, thy mother is like a vine in thy blood. Okay, vine, Isaiah 5. Isaiah portrays Israel as a vineyard. Okay, and God likens Israel as a vineyard. Thy mother's like a vine in thy blood. Okay, notice that. Vine in thy blood. A good cross-reference is Deuteronomy 32:14, the pure blood of the grape. So the grape juice is the best and purest representative that we can find for the blood of Jesus Christ. So thy mother is like a vine in thy blood planted by the waters. So it's got irrigation system. She was fruitful and full of branches. It sounds like Psalm 1:2. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And by reason of many waters. And she had strong rods for the scepters of them that bear rule. And her stature was exalted among thick branches. And she appeared in her height with a multitude of her branches. Okay, so that's Israel before Israel committed abominations and lost that great privilege to be an example to all nations. Israel was a nation God chose to be an example to all nations, and to whom much is given, much is required. And so what happened to her? But she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried up her fruit. Her strong rods were broken and withered. The fire consumed them. So we have history as an example. We learn from history that we seldom learn from history. So the only true history book that's an accurate history book is the Bible, because every history book that men write, it's got their opinion in what they focus on, or who they want to demonize or who they want to glorify. The man's opinion always gets in there. Okay, it's like the news media. Their opinion is always in there. They're never objective. They're always subjective. They'll report a certain issue at this timing. Why? Because they're trying to either destroy somebody or they're trying to promote an agenda. Okay, they think they're so objective. Go kid somebody else. Okay, and so that's the way history books are written. Now, a man can try to do it the best he can, but we're very limited in history, because we're trying to get a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth account. And you know how things go when you go that route. And so that's why it's always best to go to the original sources of what those people wrote. So Israel's plucked up in fury, verse 12, and in verse 13, and now she is planted in the wilderness in a dry and thirsty ground. That's Babylon. Okay, and in the tribulation, it will be Saudi Arabia. That's the wilderness that they will run to flee, to try to hide into the mountains in the rock city. So Israel is going to be so desolate during the tribulation that it will be renamed desolate. The D on desolate is an uppercase D in Isaiah 64. That's how bad it's going to get. So in verse 14, and fire has gone out of a rod of her branches, which hath devoured her fruit, so that she hath no strong rod to be a scepter to rule. Okay, so the next one that's going to rule is the Lord Jesus Christ from Jerusalem. Okay, and so he's going to put down all world kingdoms, the greatest doctrine in the Bible. He says, this is a lamentation and shall be for a lamentation. Okay, so the lamentation is that the political figureheads are devouring the people, stealing from them, committed abominations, and God has taken the right from Israel to be an example to all nations. And so that's a very sad thing. People who were given an amazing experience, going, getting out of Egypt, the 10 plagues, going through the Red Sea crossing, hearing God's voice speak audibly from Mount Sinai, listening, observing the thunder and the lightning, getting water from a rock on a couple occasions at least, okay, eating the manna every single day, and amazingly, the manna only lasted 24 hours, but some mysterious thing would happen on Friday where God would spray some preservatives on it or something, and it would last for two or three extra days. I mean, it's amazing. That miracle every single morning. And they turned their back on all that stuff. Man, oh man. We read that from the New Testament to the Old Testament. We say, what a bunch of ding-a-lings. What's the church doing today? It's going back to Egypt. The Egyptian music, the Egyptians' Bibles, the Egyptian morals, or lack thereof. The church is doing the same thing. And that shows we're getting closer and closer. So not it just shows how powerful this book is. A lot of times people look at all those things and get discouraged. Looking at the book should get us encouraged. Okay, now in chapter 20, he gets a second message here in chapter 20. Seventh year, fifth month, 10th day of the month. Okay, and so that would be in the fall. Or no, I'm sorry, the fifth month. That'd be in the summertime. And this one he gets about the elders of Israel. So this would be the gray hairs of Israel. Okay, and when you observe society, when women are wicked, society has gotten bad. Okay, no matter any society, men just naturally are wicked. Okay, but when women can make a sailor blush with their filthy mouth, that's a bad society. And then when the gray hair, the elderly folks, all of us as we grow older, you know, we become more conservative or more mellow, I guess you could say. We mellow out. And the reason why is, one reason why is we've had years of experience and we've seen where this liberal agenda takes a person. It's got a bad crop. Okay, and we mellow out and we say it's not worth fighting about this and that and this and that. You don't have to win every battle to win a war. Okay, and so, but when you see a liberal older person, you're dealing with a wicked person. They have defiled their conscience time and time again. I mean, when you see, you know, Crazy Joe in his agenda, you're dealing with a wicked man. It's very interesting. I saw, I think it was Jeff Sessions, where his granddaughter was around Goofy Joe, and he quickly grabbed her away from him because he had his hands all over that girl. He is a known pervert. You know, Crazy Bernie. And what's Joe? What's this? It's not Crazy Joe. They can give him that another one. Creepy Joe, yeah it is, Creepy Joe, yeah. I mean, you're dealing with a wicked man. So here in elders, in verse 1, the elders of Israel, okay, and it says that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and sat before me. So they came to Ezekiel and they said, we've heard say about you, you've got a connection with God, so we're going to ask you. Now, do you remember if you go back six chapters to chapter 14? There were some other elders came in chapter 14, the first 11 verses. These guys are slow learners. And back there, he said, I'm going to answer you guys by your idols. And he said, by the way, I'm going to send a lying spirit so you're deceived. He just flat told them in chapter 14. So now they come in chapter 20 again. So in chapter 20, they sat before Ezekiel. Then came the word of the Lord unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto the elders of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Are ye come to inquire of me? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. God's had enough. He's done. He's reached his limit. He gave up. He gave up, gave him over. Too late. Why are they coming? Oh, religious duty. Putting on a show. Probably got a vote coming in another 3 months, so they got to go to some synagogue to make sure that it looks like, hey, we're still Jews. Just like American politicians where they become all religious and go to church, you know, get their picture taken for the, you know, the cameras and everything. And when the Lord swears an oath, like there in verse 3, as I live, that is not going to change. God is done. I mean, God is amazingly patient and merciful, but when he reaches limit, he's done. Romans chapter 1 talks about that, where he says he gave them over, he gave up, and he's done. Okay, and so he says, and I find it interesting, the next question, he said, wilt thou judge them? Son of man, wilt thou judge them? What is usually the biggest complaint when we're street preaching, holding a Bible verse sign, is you're judging us. The biggest complaint. The reason why they say that is because there's at least a semblance of a conscience there. Okay? And they know we're trying to represent the Lord God.
He ain't judging me. Judge not, he be not judged.
I mean, and they don't forget. I was just, Jan and I was down in Rensselaer, we was putting some door hangers on down there, and this guy's out mowing. And I'm going from house to house, you know, as fast as I can go, boom, 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 boom. And then he gets his mower, he comes over to me, he said, you don't remember me, do you? I said, no. You judged me. I said, oh, really? When this happened? Playing basketball about 25 years ago in your gym. And I said, oh, was I reffing? You know, I just kind of, sense of humor, it went over like a lead balloon. You judging me? I said, okay. And he just went on and on. I was drinking and you told me to keep it off your property. Well, private property. I got a right to say that. Well, you judging me. And the Bible says, judge not, be not judged. You know, all sorts of humor things come to my mind in those cases. You know, I was like, oh, glad you read your Bible lately. Is that the only verse you know? Where's that verse at? Who was Jesus talking to when he said that? He was talking to a hypocrite. That's who he was talking to. Glad you memorized the verse. Good job, pal. You know, and I didn't ask him what I said because I could see in his face he was adamant. So I just let him run his mouth till his battery wore out. And I said, see you later, pal. Went to the next door. He hadn't forgotten that. He hadn't forgotten that. And I could have easily said, what did I say to you? How did you say that's judging? What is that? Yeah. It doesn't matter what you say. It was the Spirit of God that took that and hit him right in the heart. Because we're on a street corner holding a Bible verse sign. It says something like, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Okay, and somebody says, you're judging me. My sign says, seek ye out the book of the Lord. How's that judging you? It's just telling you, it's encouraging you to seek the book of the Lord. A couple years ago when I was down there, I had one sign that says, the wicked will not seek after God. And so I'm just walking along, and this one guy, he's getting ready to go in his bar, and he looked at my sign and said, what's your sign mean? I says, the wicked will not seek after God. So what's that mean? I said, do you seek after God? He says, no. I said, then you're wicked. What's so hard about that? Huh. That guy was judging me. I mean, it's amazing. So the Lord told Ezekiel, yeah, you're judging them because I told you to. Verse 4, wilt thou judge them, son of man? Wilt thou judge them? Exactly right. Cause them to know the abominations of their fathers. It's funny how God uses the words, gets the abomination. When a nation commits some things against God, God is going to bomb it. Abomination. And he did it with Sodom. Bam! He bombed it. Nuclear warhead, right off the map. Big cloud of dust. Gomorrah, boom. Edma, Bozrah, four different sites, boom. Why? Because they committed wickedness against God, so I'm going to bomb them. Abomination. So he says, cause them to know it. Okay, this is what you're doing that's wrong. You are not pleasing to God. You're thumbing your nose at God. God is holy. You are not. So, if you are inquiring of God, he says, repent. Come back to me. So verse 5, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, in the day when I chose Israel. So now he is, look at all this he's going to bring about. A long-winded Simon down to 49. He is giving them their history. And he is going right down through it. And they're sitting there listening. So he says, lift up mine hand unto the seed of the house of Jacob, make myself known unto them in the land of Egypt, when I lifted up mine hand unto them, saying, I am the Lord your God. In the day that I lift up mine hand unto them to bring them forth out of the land of Egypt into a land that I have espied for them, flowing with milk and honey, which is glory of all the lands, then said I unto them, cast ye away every man the abominations of his eyes, and defile not yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Number one commandment. Of the 10, 1 and 2. But ye rebelled against me, would not hearken unto me. They did not every man cast away the abomination of their eyes, neither did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury upon them to accomplish mine anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I wrought for my name's sake, that it should not be polluted before the heathen among them, among whom they were, in whose sight I made myself known unto them, in bringing them forth out of the land of Egypt. So he goes back in their history. So Americans should go back in their history and read the wonderful history our country has, the heritage that our country has been given. And all these people don't even read the history of America. They don't read the documents. Oh, they were all deists. Read the constitutions of North and South Carolina. One section in there says that Christianity is the established religion of this state. In Delaware, in order to be a political figure, you had to swear an oath and sign it that you believed in the God of the Bible, in Jesus Christ, and the inspiration of the Scriptures, Article 22, Delaware, the first state, it's right there. They don't make them do it anymore. Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, South Carolina. I mean, it's right in their documents. I've been reading some of them on radio at the beginning part. And it's so obvious that the Supreme Court back in the 1792 and again in 1984, after reading those documents, publicly came out and said, this is a Christian nation. Now, we know what they mean. We obviously know Americans aren't Christians, and a lot of Americans are not, but the political foundation came from the Bible, or what those men gathered from the Bible. And read those things. I came across Indiana's Constitution, 1816, and then I came across the secret revised one in 1851, which was changed not by the vote of the people. I came across Article 13 of the Constitution of the Bill of Rights, which now has been wiped away, and they put a different 13th in there. You know what that one was? The 13th one is back in 1850. It was having no attorneys in political office in the United States. Somehow that mysteriously faded away. I found that thing. Boy, that's interesting. Because people knew the problem with that. Woe unto you lawyers, for you take away the key of knowledge. That was in the 1840s and 50s, and mysteriously it just vanished away. Somehow it just vanished. And then after the Civil War, they didn't put 13, 14, and 15th in there. And Andrew Jackson saw what the southern, what the Northerners were doing to the Southerners, and he was trying to expose them, and so they had them impeached. I think they're trying to do that to somebody else. For what? Because she's not going with the agenda of the liberals. No new thing under the sun. God's been amazing to our country. It's amazing. It's a wonderful thing what we can read from the history. Now Americans are so arrogant where they're demanding God to bless them. We ought to say, God, please have mercy on us. That's what we ought to be doing. God, please have mercy in our country. For all the deaths of abortions, for the sodomy, I mean, for the apostasy in the church. I mean, it's just a shame. So we ought to continue to pray for our country, ask God to have mercy. We got down to verse 9, 10 is a paragraph mark. We'll pick it up there. Any questions or comments are we covered? God bless America. We beg for that. But when we bless God, that's when it will come. So we can keep blessing God. And the only reason God hasn't abombed this nation is because evidently there's a small ratio that God still hasn't dropped it. Only had to have 10 in Sodom. I don't know how big the city was. Only had to have one in Jerusalem, one in the political figureheads, according to Jeremiah. Only had to have one. Only had to have one. Can you imagine that? Jeremiah, he said, run through. I'm looking for one. In a political and in a Jewish religion, I'm looking for one, and I won't destroy it. Jeremiah didn't find it. Sad commentary. Okay, prayer request you might have.